Today on Real Radio.
This is not an easy thing to do. Listen, young people in here, this is not an easy thing to do. Us old people, this is not an easy thing to do. And that is found in verse 1.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands. Let me feel your touch, Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through Paul's letter to the Ephesians. This amazing addition to the New Testament is quite valuable in the area of conduct, attitude, and living as a follower of Messiah. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs taking us through the first few verses of Ephesians 6.
This is part two of a message that we started last week, and all of it's based upon Ephesians 5:18. And Ephesians 5:18 is, of course, speaking about that we do not need to be drunk with wine. We don't need to come under the intoxicating influence of a foreign substance. But in what is a strange understanding, a similar opposing view or a similar effect, and that the Holy Spirit comes upon us to affect us rather than causing us to be out of control and in a drunken state and lose any governing powers when you are under the influence, as he said in verse 18 of chapter 5, the Holy Spirit, we are filled, we are brought under His control, which brings absolute awareness and clarity and, in fact, godliness. And so what started in chapter 5, verse 18, continues all the way through, and we pick up where we left off last time in verse 1 of chapter 6. He says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother," which is the first commandment with promise, "that you may be well," or that it may be well with you, "and you may live long on the earth. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." Again, a couple weeks ago, we talked about being filled with the Spirit. And this part of the teaching, as we come to tonight, it doesn't operate itself outside of the need of being filled with the Spirit either. We cannot be, as we saw last week, husbands or wives or even viable components to the body of Christ. As we saw last week, Jesus Christ gave Himself for the bride, the church. We cannot be Spirit-filled husbands and wives or even active Christian soldiers without being filled with the Holy Spirit. We must have the Holy Spirit in our lives. And the Bible tells us and warns us, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. And by the way, we can do that at any time during the day. Don't grieve Him. We can upset Him. The Holy Spirit, and I don't mean this in any negative way, of course not, but if we were to describe the person of the Holy Spirit, we would maybe look at the Father, and the Father is the loving protector. He's the strong defender. And then you look at the Son, and He's the one who, so to speak, looks out for us. He watches over us. He's the Son. He, in some respects, is our big brother, but in all reality, He is engaged to the bride of Christ, and that's who we are, and He watches us with a vengeance because He loves us. And then you come to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, the Bible tells us, Jesus said, He is one who will not speak of Himself. He seems to be rather quiet in some regard. He can be made angry. The Bible says that the children of Israel made angry the Holy Spirit, and He turned and became their enemy. The Bible says that He can be lied to, Acts chapter 5. You can lie to the Holy Spirit. That's because He's a person. He's not an it. He's a person. And He can be lied to. He seems to be, though the word sensitive is not a good word to use, for lack of a better word, we'll have to use it. He seems to be sensitive in that a good way. He is very in tune with our lives, moment by moment, thought by thought. He knows exactly what we're thinking right at this moment. He knows exactly what we're going to be thinking tomorrow and how we think or what we allow to be thought in our lives as the way we are, what we meditate on, so that grieves or that blesses the Holy Spirit. He's amazing. The Bible tells us he's everywhere at once. Can you imagine being everywhere at once? I got to tell you, last night I was grieved, and I'm just some carnal nincompoop guy like all the rest of us. I'm watching the best of the police high pursuit things on whatever channel you were watching it on. Were you? I just love that stuff. I don't know what it is. We were, this is terrible, well, no, it's been longer than that. It's been months ago. We came home from a Wednesday night service and turned on the news, and my daughter and I sat down, and there was a high-speed pursuit in Malibu or somewhere out there. Way out there. And we're watching this guy flying, and we're going, wow, look at this. Man, he's moving. So we got out the chips and the milk, and we sat down, and now the clock's going, oh, man, that guy's coming down the 60 freeway. Yeah, look at him. Man, he's really moving. He just went past the 605. He's heading east. Well, he's coming. He's right up here through by the 57. Did you see it? You know what I'm talking about? He's coming. He's right by the 71. Hey, he's coming down the 71. He's coming down the 71. He got off on Ramon Avenue. Then the guy gets back on and goes down to Butterfield, comes back up. Most of you were sleeping. We were watching as the helicopters were falling right by your house. And this strange thing inside of me, I'm like, oh, this is great. Until he got a little close to my house. And the thing started 50 miles away, you know. But then last night we were watching this thing and, oh, it's cool. And then as it went, the program went from one program to another. And you know what? I got sick to my stomach. I got grieved after a while. This is disgusting. Well, it took me like an hour and a half to get grieved. The Holy Spirit goes, I don't like this. We're going, ooh, whoa. I told my family last night, we don't have cable. I said, this is better than cable. Look at this. Well, not the Holy Spirit. He isn't like that. He's grieved easily. He's upset easily. In a godly way, of course. He is the Holy Spirit. And he fills us. The same word is found as it is in Ephesians 5:18. The same word is found in Colossians 1:9. Where it says, and for this reason we also, since the day we heard, do not cease to pray for you and ask that you may be, and here's the word, filled with the knowledge of his will. Filled. The Holy Spirit taking the believer under the influence of his will. And last time we saw four actual participles, actually, four of them. You might want to mark them down. We saw last time that if the Holy Spirit is governing us, we will experience the speaking to one another. We saw that before, speaking to one another in psalms and spiritual songs and all. We saw an inward joy. Number two, there's an inward joy. And we saw that when the Holy Spirit is possessing us, there's a giving of thanks. And then finally, we saw that there's a submission. And we saw that in relationships between a husband and a wife. But also in verse 21 of Ephesians 5, relationships among all of us, that we submit to one another in the fear of the Lord. And so what we want to get in tonight is what is not always easy to do. Listen, young people in here, this is not an easy thing to do. Us old people, this is not an easy thing to do. And that is found in verse 1, when it says, children, obey your parents. How many of us have parents that are alive right now? Raise your hand. Hey, teens, look around. You're not the only one. We still have parents or a parent living. And how does that affect us? Listen, he's going to be telling us this evening that we need to give keen attention, if we're calling ourselves Christians, to this home life that we live as Christians. Are we filled with the Holy Spirit? If I'm an adult, am I filled with the Holy Spirit? If I'm a teen, if I'm a young child, am I filled with the Holy Spirit? It makes all the difference in the world. But doing the right thing is not always the easy thing to do. Did you know that? Have you caught on to that yet? Doing the popular thing is not always the right thing. You can stand for the right thing and be mocked and ridiculed. You can do the thing that God wants you to do, and it will be the most difficult thing to do. You know, when are we going to wake up from this almost stupor that we kind of live in? That if it's of God, then it must be really easy and simple. Now, some things are, thank God, like breathing. Although sometimes, you know, there's people from this church in the hospital tonight that they may be finding that a difficult thing to do, you know. But following God is the most awesome and rewarding and blessed thing to embark upon, but it's not always easy. And submitting to your parents will not always be easy. In fact, as you get older, I say in the teens, 13 to 18 years of age, it gets darn right difficult at times, and we'll talk about that tonight. I really want you to take notes, because I got to tell you something. In preparing this message, there's a couple areas that we'll come across to tonight that really affected my heart, because I thought about some things when I was younger. And then I thought about some things about how my children are with me and I'm with them. And then I thought about some things how you are with your children and your children with you. And this is where the rubber meets the road in our Christianity. That's why verse 18 of chapter 5 demanded with a commandment that we be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Department of Sociology at the Harvard University gave a report, and I want you to jot it down because it was hard to believe when I first looked at it today. In the 1970s, for a 10-year period of time, divorce in America arose 700% in a 10-year period of time. They attributed it to the 1950s, the late 50s and 60s, when on the university campuses around the United States, there were people picketing, they had placards, and they had a coffin, if you remember. And what were they saying? God is dead. Madeline Murray O'Hara, I remember one year in school, having prayer in school, and being able to say, "In God we trust," and "I pledge allegiance to," right, the flag, and being able to say, "One nation under God." And then the next following year, in fact, when I remember being in elementary school, our school had Bibles in them. And the next very year, there were no more Bibles, there were no more of this God stuff in classroom anymore. And in 1970 to 1979, sociologists from Harvard University is telling us that 700% was the increase in divorce rate in America. 13 million American children experienced divorce. 50% of Americans' children today live in a single-parent home or have two sets of parents. And it's destroying America. When reporting on what makes a good home and an environment for children, the Harvard report said this. This is a secular report. Number one, that both parents be committed to the family over everything else in their lives. I'm going to read it again. That both parents be committed to the family over everything else in their lives. Am I doing that? Are you doing that? Number two, what makes for a good home and a good environment for children? That the parents invest, interesting, listen, that the parents invest quantity time with their children. Quantity time. Well, not me. I'm into quality time. You know what? That's the biggest bunch of baloney ever sold to the American people. Well, we may not have much time together, but we have quality time. It was spoken about in every movie. It was spoken about in every sitcom. And listen, many of you are suffering because your parents might have had, or maybe your guardian, whoever said, "Well, you know, we don't have much time together, but we'll make it quality time." You know what? Think about that logic tomorrow when you get up and go to work. You tell your boss tomorrow when you show up, in fact, show up 3 hours late. Oh no, come on, let's take that logic all the way through. Let's grow up and be men and women about it. Take that logic and go to work 3 hours late tomorrow and you tell your boss, "Listen, it may not be quantity time, Commander," or VP or whoever you are, "but I promise, I'm going to give you 4 hours of the hardest work you've ever seen done before. I won't be here for 8 hours. I'll be here for four, but it's going to be absolutely committed 4 hours. I'm going to give you a quality time." You try that tomorrow. And if you think that's ridiculous and a mockery, then tell a little four-year-old, listen, Junior, I don't have much time to give you, but what I give you is going to be real quality time. Listen, that's impossible. It is impossible. And we've been sold a lie and a bill of goods about this thing. Applied Christianity, it takes all of our lives. And at best, we'll fail often as parents. Do you know that? At best. But Harvard is telling us that we need to invest quantity time in our kids. Quantity time. There's room for mistakes. There's room for failure when you have quantity time. But if you've got everything bottled up in a moment of delivery, there's so much pressure, and you expect that little guy or that little girl to catch it. And listen, there comes a time when that little child's got to lay their head on your lap. They got to play with you, and they got to roll around on the carpet with you and sneak up on you when you're taking a nap. You can't take a nap when you're concerned about quality time. It's a lie, and Harvard says it's a lie. The third thing they said is having a spiritual emphasis within the home. Harvard University. The third thing was having a spiritual emphasis within a home. I don't believe in the Mormon doctrine. You know that. I've made it clear. It's heretical and it's a cult. But the fact of the matter is, you know, Mormons spend one evening a week together with quality time and quantity time. Family home evenings. It's a great idea. Wrong spirit. It's a great idea. They should be commended, and they are commended for that. What about Promise Keepers? Great move of God. And I'm really blessed with how they're going right now in their new direction. Even better than before. Promise Keepers, committed. And so much of a statement they've made about homes being renewed and families making it work that the United States Congress has noticed it. And they're stressing the need for family values to be reintroduced and to be thinking about God again and put Him back in the public life of America. Jesus gave the American Christian family a warning when He said it this way in Revelation 2:5. He says, "Remember therefore from where you have fallen and repent and do your first works, or else I will come upon you and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent." The American Christian family needs to repent. It's a tremendous thing. And the frightening thing is God needs to be first again in America, and needs to start with our kids being taught the Word of God. Sad to say, the Bible teaches us clearly, and so does statistics, that so as a people go, so goes a nation. So where is our nation going? In your note-taking, I want you to jot this down. In verses 1 through 9, we won't cover verses 1 through 9. We'll cover verses 1 through 4. But in verses 1 through 9, there's two sections given. And the first one is in family life relationships, verses 1 through 4. Verses 1 through 4. And then the second section, which we'll get to next week, is verses 5 through 9, and that is a secular life relationship. That is outside church or outside the family. When He's going to talk about slaves and masters, but for our conversation and our teaching, it will be employees and employers. But none of this will work in our lives unless we're filled with the Holy Spirit. So jot it down. First point is this, found in verse 1. Children are to obey parental authority. That's what the Bible says. Now hear me out, young people, and parents, listen up. Paul says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Makes the commandment, makes the statement. And I'd like to ask this question right now. I'd like to ask you parents, and I want you kids to hear it. It's the question you ask every day, probably in your mind, if not verbally. Why? Why should I? Children, obey your parents. And kids are going to say, why? And you know what? It's okay to ask why. It's okay to ask your parents why. It's built into the child to ask why. The parent should have enough sense to give them the answer back. Not because. That's not an answer. You'll frustrate your child that way. When they say, why do I have to do this? You come back and give them an answer. Don't say, because I said so. That does nothing for them. For some weird reason, and I think it's because of association, we're with our kids all the time. We've watched them come into the world. So when they ask the question, why do I have to take out the trash now? They have no concept that, at least in a normal heart, we're thinking. In fact, isn't it true, parents, or is it just in our home we're this perverse? We'll look around and I'll see something. That trash can could probably stay another half a day. But I think it should go out now. Hey, Ashley, will you take the trash can out? I'll just do that just to test the heart to see if they're thinking and to give them responsibility. A good employer will do that with an employee. They'll train that employee. They'll give them another what? What are you begging for at work? Give me another task, another responsibility. So why? I can get more money. And so the child, we want to encourage them. We want to help them along. So we say, you know what? Why don't you take out the trash? And so often as a parent, we're testing their heart to give them responsibility, absolutely, but also to see where they're at. Oh, no! She hasn't taken it out in a while. Right then, their scorecard is just starting to plummet, you know. Why? Well, listen, why should children obey parental authority? Well, first of all, God says so. God says so, and He loves us. He loves us all. It's important that we be given our children reasons to obey us. It says, children, obey. The word obey is not the word submit. He could have used the word submit. He didn't use the word submit. It's the word to listen. The word means to listen while you're being talked to. Isn't that great? This Bible's so wonderful. It already knows all about teens. The word means to listen while you're being talked to recognize when you're being spoken to. The word is used 21 times in the Bible. It's a compound Greek word. It means to be hearing and yet brought under. It means to hear and to be brought under the statement or under the parental position. You're my parents. What are you saying? I'm going to do what you're asking me to do. Why? Because God is calling you to do it, kiddos. And there's a great reason. It's not to upset you. It's not to frustrate you. And you'll hear the reasons why tonight. It's fantastic how wonderful God is to us in these areas of family life. To be brought under, to hear what is being said. We need to give our children reasons. And consider, parents, tonight the viewpoint or the vantage point from a child, where they view things from. And what does the child view in your home and in my home? Well, first of all, they need to be thinking this way. They do. They need to see mom and dad this way, that they are held in high regard because they are my mom and dad. I may not agree with everything they say. I don't agree with everything this government does, but I hold it in high regard. I pray for this nation. I don't agree with what this nation always does, but I hold it in high regard. I may disagree with that assessment that the officer gave regarding my lane changing techniques and methods. But the fact of the matter is, there's a badge that's on his chest that has the state of California behind him. That's power.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation taken from the first few verses of Ephesians 6. We'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio with more, so be sure and join us. Now, as you may know, we just concluded the Southern California Prophecy Conference for this year at Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, and whether or not you were able to make it, you'll be glad to know that we've made the materials available. Visit us at realradioactive.org and learn how to get them. realradioactive.org. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.